Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37 is a very visual portion of Scripture. And what I'd like for you to do this morning as I'm reading this portion of Scripture, I'd like for you to picture yourself there alongside Ezekiel, hearing what he hears, seeing what he sees, feeling what he feels. And we're going to talk about, can these bones live again? Question that God gave to Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, now starting with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. Try to picture that. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered into them. And they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." You know, it's very possible that you find yourself this morning walking through the valley of dry bones, much like that of the prophet Ezekiel. The decaying, putrefying remains of what once was alive and well is now merely scattered skeletal remains. Things have gone from bad to worse. There's little to no hope at sight at all. This at this time was the condition of Israel. The Jews, including Ezekiel himself, was living as an exile in Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar conquered Judah, the southern area of what we call Israel today, city by city, hauling the Jews away to Babylon to live in captivity. Their last memory while in Judah was the sound of the battering rams against the walls of Jerusalem. For a Jew, as long as Jerusalem and the temple survived, there remained a hope, a national revival, and a restoration of the Jewish people. As long as Jerusalem and the temple survived. Jerusalem, however, now was in ruins. And the temple had been destroyed, looted, and burned to the ground. The Jewish people were now scattered. Their national and religious identity was utterly destroyed. But God had a plan. I want you to consider, first of all, the death of a nation. Ezekiel 37, starting with verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" And I said, "O sovereign Lord, you alone know." Now the dry bones represent the death of a nation, the hopelessness of the Jewish people. They were scattered like skeletal remains in a valley of death. Ezekiel says in verse 2, he led me back and forth amongst them, And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. Another translation says, these bones were bleached white. They had been there long enough in the desert sun. Not only was the flesh gone, but now the bones themselves were bleached white. They were scattered about. Try to picture it if you can. Maybe a skull over here and another skull over there, an arm and a leg and toes and feet and everything dismantled, all spread out on the desert floor. And he says here in verse 2, he led me back and forth amongst them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. The Spirit of God literally walked Ezekiel through this massive, you know, graveyard, you might call it, of bones. They would go back and forth and back and forth and round this nauseating sight in this valley of dry bones. God was simply not going to allow Ezekiel to take one quick little peek and say, yeah, I've seen it, I understand, let's move on. To that end, God walked him about the bones long enough so that Ezekiel would get a full, sickening stomach full. God wanted to etch this scene upon Ezekiel's heart and upon his mind forever. God wanted this experience to change Ezekiel's outlook and to change his life and to change it forever. How often we only want to take a quick peek at the plight of our cities and of our world. Another uncomfortable news story during the news, and we get up and we change the channel. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it anymore. We want to bury our heads in the sand. And God was saying to Ezekiel, I'm not going to allow you to do this. I'm going to walk you back and forth and back and forth across this valley of dry bones until it really grips you. The hopelessness of a nation that is now dead and gone. Now listen to what question God asks him here in verse 3. Having seen then what you have seen, Ezekiel, son of man, can these bones live? Having seen what you have seen, walked with me, and I've showed you over and over. We walked and walked and rewalked this area. Son of man, can these bones live? Can these dry, bleached, disjointed, scattered bones live and breathe again? I believe the Spirit of God is asking that same question of us this morning. I believe the same question that he asked of this prophet Ezekiel, he's asking of us. Can these bones live again? Is there hope for your marriage? Will these bones live again? A family that's been scattered over all sorts of reasons and ideas and even to, you know, things that should have brought them family together has now set them and separated them. Can the family live again? My husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, can they live again? Can my neighborhood come back to life? Can the city that I live in, the nation, can it live again? I believe just as Ezekiel was asked the question of God, can these bones live again? I believe that God is asking of us that same question. Matter of fact, some of you have asked that question of yourself this past week. You've asked yourself and you've looked in the mirror and you've said, will I ever live again? Will I ever be truly alive again? Depression, anxiety, and all of these things are overwhelming at the moment. And you've said to yourself, will I ever live again? Will I ever want to get up in the morning and have a spring in my step and know the sounds of joy and feel like singing and dancing again? Will I ever feel that again? Ezekiel, God's speaking. What's your prognosis? Can these bones live again? Look at verse 3. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live again? And I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone know. Now, Ezekiel's response here is more than, Lord, you're the only one that knows the answer to that question of whether they can live again. But rather, what he was really saying is, Lord, you are the only one that can make this happen, and I believe you can, and I believe that you will. You see, friends, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And what you discover in the Word is that God will often ask the question of his children, is this too hard for me? Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And our response is going to determine the outcome for our lives. And he asks the question of us, as he did for Ezekiel, can these bones live again? And Ezekiel responded, yea, Lord, you're the only one that knows. No, that's not what he's really saying. He's saying, yes, Lord, I know that you have the authority, that you've got the power, that you can do all things. And yes, I believe you can bring it to pass. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, so God asks that question often through Scripture. He makes declarations of his power, of his might, and rightfully so. But he often asks us, what is our prognosis? What do we say? What do we believe that God is about to do? And we respond either in faith or with a lack of faith, either believing that he's all-powerful and all things are within his might, or we begin to diminish the power of God. In other words, a command then that God gave him after he walked him through the bones, asked him the question, can these bones live again? And he says, yes, Lord, I believe that with you it's possible. But look at verse 4 now. There's a command that he gives him, and I believe this command was a command to speak life. Look at verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach, notice God's doing the work, not Ezekiel. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Notice how Lord is all in caps there. Whenever you see that in Scripture, and it's there about 7,000 different times, each and every time you see the Lord all in caps like that, that refers to the Jehovah God, the covenant-keeping name for God. He says, then you will know that I am the covenant-keeping, all-powerful God. So I prophesied as I was commanded. You know, friend, have you ever made a bold statement of faith? You know, you've been in a moment and you made a statement of faith, and then all of a sudden, only moments later, you had a hard time believing your own words. How did I say that? And why did I say that? And why did I make that promise? And so on and so forth. I'm sure that Ezekiel probably felt that way when God told him, now I want you to go prophesy life to the bones. I want you to go to this dead and decaying mess that we've walked through. And I want you to prophesy to the bones. Now, this was not a command to predict what would take place, but rather an injunction to proclaim the divine promise and the power of God. For God had already said, I will do this. I will cause the bones to come together. I will cause flesh. I will cause skin. I will cause breath. You will live again. All he had to do is to go to declare it. You see, obedience to the command was all that was required of Ezekiel. And that is all that's required of us. And that is to obey the command of God. And that's all that's required of Ezekiel. That's all that's required of us. Now, it's even better if we believe it. But nonetheless, all that was necessary here was for Ezekiel to proclaim out of simple obedience the word of the Lord. Now, the promise of new life in the death valley was not based on the level of his faith, but rather on the greatness of his God. Let me run that by again. As we prophesy, as we proclaim the word of the Lord, which the Bible says, when I send my word out, it will not return void. Simply meaning, when the word goes out, no matter how hard it may seem, no matter how rejected it may appear, my word will always root in and bring to me that which I desire. And so, the level of our faith is not what is at issue here. What's at issue is the greatness of our God. Bones shriveled, disjointed, scattered, I speak life over you. God commands you to live. Now let me ask you, what promise has God given you this past week in the midst of your walk in the valley of dry bones? Family restoration? A marriage restored with new life? A baby in your barrenness? You've cried like Hannah. You want a child so bad, and it's been frustrating. The salvation of your household. Maybe it's a job, a financial miracle. You've walked and you've seen what's happening in your neighborhood, and you're saying, oh God, give us our neighborhood. Let our neighborhood come back to life. Be obedient and speak the word of God. Speak life over every situation. Your situation, whatever that situation may be, whether it's family related, finance related, health related, frustrations of every kind in the pandemic world in which we're living, whatever it is, your situation has spoken death and defeat to you long enough. Yes, it may be bad. No, there may not be any hope in the natural. But our hope is in the unfailing Lord our God that knows no defeats and will know no defeat. Dry bones. Ezekiel stood there. Dry bones. Live. Let me encourage you. Quit operating in fear. Be obedient and begin to speak life. When the world says no, God says yes. When they say no way, you respond and say his way. When the devil says death, you say life. When the devil says you're going down, you tell him, no, I'm going up. You speak back and you speak the word and you speak life, not only to one another, but into the situation in which you're facing. Verse 7 simply says, so I prophesied as I was commanded. That's our part. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now notice what happens next. There's a rattling sound of victory. Look at Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse 7 again. It says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, not before and not long after. It was while the words were coming out of his mouth. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise. There was a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Try to picture this now. I looked, and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. So first there was a noise. There was a thundering, according to the original text here. There was a sound that could be heard, possibly the trump of God that is spoken of in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. There was something happening at this moment that caused suddenly bones to come together. There was a shaking like that of an earthquake. Then it began to happen. Bones started coming together, each and every bone in its own place. At this point, I simply say, Hollywood, step aside. You cannot match this one. This is the genuine power of God at work. First the skeletons came together, then the muscle and the tendons, followed by flesh and skin. And at this point, they looked probably like the department store mannequins. Physically, their bodies were now perfect and complete. Yet they lacked one thing that was crucial. They lacked breath and they lacked life. Look at verse 9. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. When God created Adam from the dust of the ground, you know and I know he was not complete until God put the breath of life within him. And the Bible says at that very moment, this mannequin-like person, this person that was all there physically, the bones were there, the muscles were there, the tendons were there, the skin was there, everything was there, but something was lacking. It was life, and God went and put the breath of life, the God that gives life, the life giver, the life source, put his life inside of him, and suddenly there was a spark in his eye. And there was a breath in his lungs, and his mind began to think, and he was a whole and complete person. But it wasn't until God put the breath of life within him. And the Bible says at that moment he became a living soul. All throughout the scriptures, as you well know, breath and wind are types for the Holy Spirit. Friends, the Holy Spirit brings life. Wherever the Spirit goes, he brings freedom, but he also brings life. And he breathed life just as Adam had life. Because God put his spirit, put life, put breath. Rosh is the Old Testament Hebrew word. Placed it inside of him and suddenly this mannequin-like body came to life. And the spark of God was within him. Friends, the Holy Spirit brings life. Let me say it again. The Holy Spirit brings life. He is the life giver. Every Christian, I believe, needs the life the Spirit can only place within him to be fully alive. You know, modern Israel is a miracle of divine resurrection. In 1973, which means the nation of Israel was only 25 years old at the time, was the first time I visited in Israel. It was amazing to see how a nation that had been dead all the way up until 1948, how it literally became alive. The bones came together. They came from nations round about where they've been taken away into captivity. And now they're back in their homeland. And not only in their homeland, they're declared to be a nation. And this nation is miraculous. Modern Israel is a miracle of divine resurrection. These once dry bones, they live and are very alive today. Now let me ask you, what hopeless situation are you in the midst of this morning? Just as Ezekiel was walking in the depth of this valley, and it was full of dry bones, bleached bones, separated bones one from another. A hopeless situation. What situation are you facing in your life this morning? And like Ezekiel, I believe God is asking you and asking me, can these bones live again? Are you going to throw in the towel, walk away? Or can these bones live again? Are you going to accept what the enemy has done, or can these bones live again? How will you answer? I would encourage you this morning to answer by speaking the word of God and by speaking life. In a world that's so quick to speak death, I want you to speak life. You see, with God, nothing Nothing is impossible with our God. And He is the one that is waiting for men and women to say, I will speak the word of life. I will speak the word of God into a generation of dry bones. Your home, your future, your job, your finances, whatever it is in your life where the enemy has come and it just seems like it's dead. You know, you can be married, living in the same home at the same address, and even getting into the same bed at night with one another and be dead. You can go into your job and just, you're doing what you've always done. You punch in, you put in your 8 hours, 10 hours, whatever it is, but you're dead on the inside. Like the mannequin, it's all together. It seems like, wow, you know, it's never been a better time. It looks on the outside like it's full of life, but on the inside, you know the state and the condition of your own life. And you see yourself as dry bones, dismantled. You look at your family and you're saying, I don't know what's happened. We were such a hopeful family, looking for such wonderful things together. I can't believe it, what's happened. And the Lord is saying, to you, can these bones live again? Is this too hard for me? And we respond, just like God asked the question in the Old Testament, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It was a question. God asked the question. He could have said, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. And he goes on to say that in other various portions of Scripture. But in this particular account, he said, I need your answer, because your answer is going to determine your own destiny. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? And the people of God respond resoundedly, saying what? No, there's nothing. Nothing. There is nothing too hard for the Lord our God. This morning, you might be walking amongst dry bones. And it's been more than just a quick peek. You've lived in it. You've been in that valley. And today, God is wanting to bring life into that situation. Life into your soul. The Spirit of God brings life. And He wants to fill you. He wants to bring life, new life, like you've never known before. You feel like a mannequin, looks good on the outside, but on the inside, just dead man's bones. Today you can experience new life in Christ. Your family, your finances, your home, your job, your community, your block. Somebody needs to speak into this generation the word of the Lord, and to speak life into our city, where there's shootings and death, robbing and stealing, where there's drug addiction and lives are being ruined every single day. Someone needs to walk not only and just take a peek, they need to say, Lord, I know that you're bigger than this. And I know that you can turn all things around. And my block is my block. This block belongs to God. And I'm going to walk this block, and I'm going to pray this block, and I'm going to believe that God is going to give us this block. I'm not going to let the bones rot away. So whatever's going on in your life today, and you need a miracle, you're saying, I believe that God is calling me to something new in my life, and wants newness in my life and my situation. As they begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to pray for you this morning. From all over this room, move quickly. We're going to pray and we're going to ask God. And we're going to leave here with a word from the Lord. And that word from the Lord is live. Dry bones come together. Live. City, live. Milwaukee, live. Wisconsin, live. United States, live. Homes, live. Marriages, live. Bodies, live. You come as they begin to sing.